Appreciate the opportunity, and we'll just take a few minutes to bring a few verses to you in the Book of Acts. Book of the Acts, chapter 1, first of all. And verse number 14. I want to read four instances of prayer in the Book of the Acts. Verse 14 of chapter 1, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And one of the things they prayed in verse 24, they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Now chapter 4. They've just been in hold and they have been threatened. But being let go, in verse 23, they went to their own company. And verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Chapter 6, verse number 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And finally, chapter 12. And in this chapter we'll read firstly verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And verse 12, when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. That's our reading. Trust the Lord will bless a few simple thoughts this evening. We're all aware, indeed our presence here tonight would indicate our awareness, that prayer is absolutely fundamental in the life of the believer. And, of course, in the life of the assembly. We see that in Acts chapter 2. They continued steadfastly, and that word refers to all the four things that follow. The apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayers. And they continued in those things steadfastly because they recognized the need of them. And that's why we pray. That's why we're here to pray, because we recognize the need. I have looked through the book of the Acts and just chosen these four as giving us things that made people pray or desire to pray. And in chapter 1, well, I guess there's a dilemma, if I can use that word. They're looking for direction, if you like that better, but there is a dilemma. I thought about these disciples. They had accompanied the Lord Jesus. Whenever a problem came up, they asked him. He explained to them things they didn't know. Suddenly he's gone. Where do you go now? Where do you get your help now? Oh, he had said to them back in the upper room that, you know, if they'll ask in his name, he would do it. So there was an avenue to still get a response. He said in chapter 16, when he spoke again about prayer, he told them to ask, and he said, I say not that I will pray the Father for you, because the Father himself loveth you. And he's encouraging them to pray to the Father because the Father loves them. And he would respond to them in the same way the Lord had when he was here. So perhaps it's in the strength of that, that as soon as the Lord was ascended back into heaven, they went back into the upper room and prayed. Communication with heaven was absolutely essential to them. He had said about waiting, waiting till they be endued with power from on high. Yes, they would wait, but while they're waiting, they would pray. It was so essential that they not lose the contact with heaven. Notice that not only are all these men there, Peter, James, John, Andrew, and so on, they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Here they are all gathered together, and they had one accord. They just wanted to communicate with heaven. They wanted to know what to do next. That's what I really think it is. They're looking for guidance here. All their physical guidance in the person and presence of the Lord Jesus seems to have gone from them. They're looking for guidance. The only place to get it is to gather together and to pray with one accord. Now, we read further down the chapter, there was a matter they wanted guidance, and they just prayed and said, "Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men." And so they were resting on what the Lord knew, how he understood everything, and he would bring an appropriate result. Now, very simply, in our dilemmas in life, do we do this? In our dilemmas as an assembly, is this where it all begins? Immediately there's a difficulty, do we decide we need prayer? We need to get together and pray. This is the matter we need to pray about. Let's do it together. Very important to do it together. Of course, it's important to pray personally at home. The Lord Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 6. He said there's a reward for secret prayer. But remember in chapter 18, he said it's a very wonderful thing for you to gather together and agree in prayer, because where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. My, that adds to our prayer, doesn't it? That adds to the value of collective prayer. So here, it's just simply this: in the dilemmas, in the desires for direction in life, prayer is the answer. I wonder, do we pray as we ought to pray? In chapter 4, there was something different. They had suffered for the name of Christ. Call it difficulties, call it distress. Distress seems to describe very well the feeling as they would come away, although, interestingly, there was joy in their hearts. They were glad to have suffered for his name. But notice in a very lovely way, in verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company. They could have someone to come to. Isn't it good when you've had a difficulty, you can come to your own company? That's what the assembly ought to be. The people we would go to, the people we would look to for support in a time of distress. That's what Daniel did. As soon as there was a problem, he gathered his friends together and they prayed. When there's a problem, when there's a distress, do we come to our own company? Do we feel a confidence in the people of God that we gather with, that we can come to them and say, here's the problem, let's pray? And they did pray. What amazes me is what they prayed. I would have thought they would have prayed that the Lord would have, you know, stopped the hands of these who are opposing them, you know, take them out of the way, let us get on with the work. They didn't. They said here in verse number 29, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." I think that's a tremendous prayer. They just asked to be bold, to carry on, to be given the strength. I guess what I'm looking at here is in a time of distress, you come into the presence of God to look for the strength to deal with the distress. After all, that's what he supplies. Doesn't he say that to Paul when he prayed for the removal of the thorn in the flesh? "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." He wasn't going to remove the problem. He's going to give the grace. Same here. They said, you know, in the presence of God, all these people had gathered together to do whatever the word of God and the determinate thoughts of God ahead of time had sought to be done. They're all gathered together against him. "Grant to thy servants that with boldness we might speak thy word." They've just been threatening us, Lord. They've threatened us. They've threatened our lives. So they've threatened us if we do it again. Help us to keep doing it. Prayer for strength. There are many circumstances in life that we simply can't avoid. They come upon us and there's nothing we can do about them except seek the grace and the strength to deal with them, to go on in spite of them, to continue to bear testimony for the Lord in the face of the difficulties that come across the path. God doesn't always just pull the mountain out of the road as we approach it. He will give the strength to go over it if that's his will. So prayer is a place where we look for strength. Come to chapter 6. lots you could say. You can think of these things if you're in any of these circumstances tonight. Chapter 6, verse 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This is prayer in the duties of our service. Interestingly, what has happened in this chapter is that there's a difficulty over the distribution of the money to the widows. And they come together and talk about that, and they say, well, now, we can't leave the word of God to serve tables. The apostles are saying, well, we've got this, our work to do. We can't desert that work. But look out seven men, and you look at the qualities of these men. They're going to look after handing out the money to the widows, but my, they demand spiritual quality. Not anybody does the work of God, you know. There's spiritual qualities here. And they chose men like Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Men of that caliber. And do you know what they did before they let them go to that work? They prayed with them. Interesting. They prayed over that work, that deacon work, and it's only one half. We'll see the other half in the verse we've read. They prayed over that very important service amongst the saints. They saw that spiritual men were chosen to do it, and they prayed with them before they did it. Now, back to these men. What did they say? We haven't got the time that to put it into everything. Don't try to do everything. Do what the Lord has given you to do. We're going to give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, of course, the service, that's the same thing. The service of the word. It may mean the preaching of the gospel. It may mean the teaching of the saints. But prayer and the ministry of the word. And I can remember saying about this, you know, before you preach, you need to pray. That's true, of course. You need to spend as much time praying over it as studying it out, because it is a spiritual thing. This is not just a lesson. This is the truth of God. This is something that should work in our lives, something spiritual. So we should pray and spend time in prayer in view of that. But lately, as I've looked at the apostles' prayers, I can see two parallel things in his life, a life of prayer and then the life of preaching, if you like. Two equally important and necessary parts of his work. And I think here they're seeing prayer as a distinct work that needs to be done, and the ministry of the word as another work that needs to be done. They're going to do them both together. But you look at the prayers of the apostle, if you want to understand that. As he comes to each church, he thinks about them, thinks about what's happening, what's good, what needs support, what needs help, and he prays in a very positive way. And if he goes through all of those assemblies, as he does in these epistles, and prays for them all carefully like that, he spent a lot of time in prayer. And he prayed in a very clear and decisive way about real needs that he perceived amongst them. Prayer was a big part of his life. Don't be afraid to spend time in prayer. You know what it's like? It's all a hustle and bustle, and we feel when we're in prayer quietly that, well, the time's going by and I've got this to do and that to do and we really haven't got time. Prayer is essential. And if we're going to get anywhere in spiritual life and experience, prayer is going to be an important part of that. So as he said, our work is prayer and ministry of the word of God. What a noble thing to put one's life to those two important matters. Spend time with God and spend time bringing God's truth to the people. Prayer in the spiritual duties of life. Finally, in chapter 12, we know what's happened over there. James has been killed. Peter is now in prison. And in response to that, this is in the dangers of life, for it was a dangerous situation. The most likely outcome was that once the season was over, where they couldn't really do anything, the days of unleavened bread, they would bring Peter out and behead him as well, and that would be how it would be. So the believers came together to pray. Now the puzzle here is what they prayed and what they prayed. I know when Paul was in prison, he asked the believers to pray for him. And it wasn't to get out of prison. It was to be given the grace and help that whether by life or by death, Christ would be magnified in his body. That was the prayer he wanted. He wanted to see Christ made large in his body, whether it was by him continuing to live or by dying. It didn't matter to Paul. Tells you that later in the chapter. I'm in a strait between two. To depart is to be with Christ, which is far better. To abide in the flesh is more needful for you. It's a hard thing to decide whether to live or to die. Isn't that amazing? The man was totally given over to making Christ large in his life. Whether by continuing in it or finishing it, didn't matter. Now, are they doing something like that here? What are they praying for? They're praying, it says, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Good when you read these verses to read every word, you know, because they're all important, aren't they? They all came together. They kept on at it. It was by the church. It was a concerted, combined effort. It was to God and it was for him. Good when our prayers are as definite as that. And they're not just generalized things. Definite prayer. As I say, we don't know what they prayed, because later, when Peter was released from prison, he knocked at the door. Rhoda came to the door, and when she knew his voice, she opened up the door for gladness. She believed he was there. But they said to her in verse 15, "Thou art mad," and thought it was his angel, but he continued knocking. They opened the door and they were astonished. He could, wouldn't it, to get some answers to prayer that surprised us? Might make us believe more when we pray. If they prayed for Peter to, you know, die nobly, well, that didn't happen. If they prayed for him to be released, then they didn't really believe it was going to happen. But at least they were praying for him. That was a good start, wasn't it? What have we got here? If in the first one we're praying for guidance in the dilemmas of life, in the second one we're praying for strength to deal with some of the difficulties and distresses of life, in the third one, we're praying for the ministry, the spiritual exercises, for the saints in general. Here, we're simply in the dangers of life praying for one another. And if you and I see a fellow believer in danger, whether it be from outside influence like this, whether it be from things that are happening in his or her own life, let's pray for one another. We can do with it, you know. I went through somewhere just the other evening Paul's prayers in 1 Thessalonians. Three of them, thank you prayers, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Then he comes to chapter 5 and he says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Then his fifth reference, right down the end, brethren, pray for us. Isn't that good? He prayed, he gave thanks, he did all those things in the epistle, told them to do the same. And then that little appeal, could you have denied him that? Brethren, pray for us. We need to pray for one another because we all face dangers, whether from within or from without. We need one another's support in prayer. May the Lord just encourage us as we approach these days of being in his presence, in his will, that he will just give us what we need. Pray about it. That he'll give us what we need to support us and help us to go on in our spiritual lives and testimonies. Father, we bow in thy presence, thankfulness for every mercy that we receive from thee. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to come into thy presence and speak with thee. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is there as our high priest. We've already been reminded tonight he's entered in. And we're going to follow. And Father, that is such a thrill to our souls. To think that he is there. He represents us, but he's our forerunner, guaranteeing that we will also be there. So Father, we just commend all that has been done here as we've gathered together to thee, the prayers of thy people, the desire for help in the coming days. We commit everything into thy hand. We give our thanksgiving in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.